All right, I'm just hitting record.
This is okay.
All right, so Max has signed on in no shirt, big glasses.
Max is coming in like
coming in hot,
like young. It's vibes of like, okay, if you took William H. Macy and Boogie Nights but made him really young.
Okay.
Also, we can't hear you, Max.
Yeah, I can't hear your mic. But yeah, let's keep describing what Max looks like. He looks like who's that photographer guy who ends up being like a big sex pest and everybody knew because his pictures were very sex pesty?
I feel like you're talking Terry about every photographer.
Terry something. I know Max probably even knows the answer, and it's like killing him that the mic isn't working. Oh, come on, Max, you can do it. This mustache is looking fantastic, by the way. I guess we should just we'll just start the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Ballin' Out.
Gundam time.
Ready? Go.
Gundam time. It's been a while. I'm out of practice.
Hi, Leif.
Leif's there. Hello.
We are here for another week. I'm joined, of course, by my co-hosts, guest Katie Roseleon for the week, David Citrick.
It's great to be on Squadcast in the anime room.
And honorary David of the week, Max Ogle. You still can't do it.
He's just...
It's gonna be so funny if we do the whole episode and Max can never get on, but he is still a participant in the episode.
He's just signing the entire time. Yeah. Do you know ASL, Max?
He's indicating that yes, he does.
There's an affirmative, yes.
But yeah, we are here.
That's the sign for friendship.
We're here another week. I'm joined by my honorary Davids for a oops, no co-hosts episode. That's a Max joke. I will, of course, pay you for that, Max. but yeah, Alex is still on vacation, and Katie just had somewhere else that she wanted to be, I guess. And it's just us.
Which is, I mean, we're still under quarantine, so that's just home.
Yeah. No one here but us chickens. Here with the fellas.
Yeah.
I still can't get the mic going.
Time to get salty and smooth. We're going to talk about our tea levels.
Yeah, we're going to talk about tea. We're going to talk about Avatar, The Last Airbender, which I've been informed David is watching.
Yeah, that show rules.
Max, give us a thumbs up if you've ever seen Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yeah, he has. Okay.
Folks at home, he has.
Yeah.
Leif can't even hear us.
Max over here in the corner telling people to yip yip. Am I right? Okay.
So, folks at home, Leif is leaning over Max's computer, trying to help him fix whatever technical snafu is happening right now. But Leif can't hear a goddamn word we say. So I don't know. What do we know about Leif that we can gossip about?
This does
without
like
him hearing.
I feel. There's a lot of there's strong behind the candelabra vibes coming from the Ogle residence at the moment right now.
Max, is it that you're reading your headphone as the input? You don't think so? What if you just switch it to the regular laptop mic? Because I feel like the last time we had you on, it was just the laptop mic anyway. Oh no!
And there we go.
And he left. Well, he just left the chat.
Good episode, guys. You can find me at David Citrick.
Check out my other podcast, Generation Loss.
Check out my podcast, David Hates David.
But so you, David, you've been watching Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah, it's, I don't even know if it constitutes as anime because it's Nickelodeon and nobody
it's
know
not.
Ever...
It's American animation.
Yeah. But It's very well done.
Ooh, this is promising.
What now?
Yes,
hey!
Yes.
What now?
Wow. Max is here. Right. He's back.
I tried to because I noticed my audio was shit on like the last episode I did. It wasn't like shit, but it wasn't bad. Like, good,
right?
So I was trying to be sound perfect.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Welcome to the realm of the audible, Max.
What's up,
Max?
What's up,
boys? Did you just nut? That's the question I have right now.
You do have strong, like, just knocked one out vibes.
Oh, what is it to nut? You know? That's the question. What is, you know? Nutting comes in many forms.
My man rocking a chain right now. The shirtless
what's on the end of that chain
look.
What's on the end of it?
Oh, it's a St. Chris.
St. Chris, nice.
Yeah, you know?
That's nice.
Patron saint of travelers, lost children, and those about to nut.
Yeah.
I'm glad we finally canonized someone for that. That was a hole in the Catholic
gap.
Sainthood.
Yeah, that's the story. It's St. Christopher picked up Jesus on the street when he was sick.
To go fucking roll around looking for some strange, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And now you have to bury a statue of him in your backyard before you come.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Before every Tinder date.
Sorry about the audio snafu.
Hey, it's all right. I thought it was a funny intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
It's just such a missed opportunity because I came in so hot with the visual gag.
I know, it was a really good visual.
Honestly,
yeah.
I think the silence made the visual gag work even better.
Yeah, it works even better because the thing is, yeah, nobody at home can see this and they never will.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Anyway, we were just talking about Avatar: The Last Airbender. Dave's been watching it. You said you watched it, right?
Yeah, I rewatched it over first core part one.
Oh, damn. I've never seen any of it.
It's a good show. I would say skip the first four episodes.
Okay.
What? It lays the foundation.
They're children with powers, David.
It's literally like they're 20-minute episodes. Like watch the first four episodes. Who gives a shit? What do you have going on with your life that you can't waste an hour and 20 minutes on an adorable show? Come on.
That's true, yeah.
Okay.
I gotta watch The Fly tonight, so that's my agenda.
Yeah. Please kill me, am I right? Okay.
So Avatar: The Last Airbender, it's what is it? It's like magical, because it's like Naruto.
So,
is it like a Naruto type of vibe?
So you've got these the world is broken into four elemental tribes. You know, the Earth tribe, the Water tribe, the Air tribe, and the Fire
and
tribe.
Jews.
Yep, that would be the Earth tribe. Come on, there's also this global figure called the Avatar that masters all four of the elements, right?
Right, right.
And
right, okay.
And the Avatar gets reincarnated after every time the previous Avatar dies, the next Avatar comes from each of it rotates what tribe they come from. So when the last Avatar died, he disappeared for 100 years. The Fire Nation used that opportunity to start a big war, invade all the other, try and take over all the other tribes, killed off all the other airbenders.
Except for Avatar?
The last airbender, the Avatar, yes.
What is his name? His name is Avatar?
No, his name's Aang.
Oh, that
He's
sucks.
Avatar Aang.
Yeah.
Do you think they wanted to make, like, multiple, like, the chronicles within the Avatar story, and that's why they called it Avatar: The Last Airbender?
They did.
They did, like, Avatar: The Next...
Legend of Korra.
Legend of Korra. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Which I haven't watched.
I haven't.
I've heard it's not as good.
I'm finishing Avatar first. So, anyway, the story unfolds from there. But
yeah, it seems like if you were going to be a bender, you'd want to bend fire, right?
It seems very
valuable in comparison to
Earth, wind, and water.
It's volatile.
Jeremy, how about you sneeze when you're lighting the stove and then Moe's face is gone? You know?
It's
seems
true.
Like a real fun element then, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It's volatile.
Why would the stove be involved?
I don't know. Maybe you're a firebender. I just light the stove
with my firebender. You're a man who cooks, you know?
Yeah, because I was going to say, it's not like you're like a gas bender. You're not like adding extra, like...
Yeah.
No, but
hey, if you're in your modern environment, let's say Con Ed fucks up, there's a gas leak,
of course,
and then you're
yeah.
just like, hey, let's do a firebending trick. You blow up the whole block.
Look at this, honey. I can set the stove with my firebending.
It's a recurring motif in the show that fire is wild and hard to tame and thus is reckless and causes people to hurt people that they love unintentionally.
So if you were going to rank them, you'd say fire not top.
No. No, well, I mean, in the world of the show, just by virtue of him being the only one with that power, I feel like the airbender is, high demand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So was it a genocide? Did they do, like, a genocide to the airbenders?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a light genocide.
They did
yeah.
a light genocide.
I would call that more than a light genocide. There's only one left. I'd call that a nearly successful genocide.
Realistically speaking, the water benders have the power to heal people and also other powers that I won't get into for spoiler reasons, but that feels like the fact that you could actually like heal people and bring people back
yeah,
from
that's
near
pretty
death,
helpful, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. gonna help you out in a lot of sitches.
Huh. Are there heart benders?
No, it's not like Captain Planet, all right?
Yeah,
because
it feels like Captain
here.
Planet, right? It's a all little right. bit like Captain Planet.
Yeah, okay, like, you're not combining all these elementals and then creating a new being, all right? It's
That's
the Avatar.
That's where the Avatar
he
comes from. That's
airbender.
The Avatar. The Avatar is Captain Planet.
Look, stop trying to impose your Western cartoon hegemony on this delightful...
And by the way, if there was a heartbender, that would be the best one, because that would kill people instantly.
Yeah, buddy. Again, for spoiler reasons, we won't get into it.
There's going to be heartbenders later on in the
series.
You're a
summer child over here, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever, man. If I could bend people's hearts, that's the one I'd choose.
Hey, finish book one before you jump all the way to book three, loser.
Look,
there's no manga, is there? I thought it was an American animation product.
It is, but it's organized into books.
There's a way to bend.
Oh, shut up. What?
There is. There's a way to
bend
hearts.
Why is it
hearts.
Books? They didn't make it's the only one that there's not books.
Jeremy, there's a way to bend hearts. It's called speaking eloquently. All right, why don't
all
you
right.
fucking
okay.
learn about it?
Nice.
Whoa, get dunked on.
All right, well, Max, what have you been up to since last we spoke?
I have.
You grew out a mustache, which is again, I said it already, but looking very nice.
Powerful mustache, strong 70s mm-hmm. porn vibes coming out of you, and not just for the mustache reasons, but like the hair is like wild and free. You got to the chain.
Yeah,
You cannot underemphasize the power of the chain in this sort of au revoir you've got going on right now.
Feel free to screenshot for promotional purposes.
Yeah,
Jeremy,
I'm not
going to
do that because I know that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. my man looking satisfied enough as it is, all right?
My man already know how good he look.
Yeah, I nutted recently. I did nut recently, yeah.
So that's what you've been up to?
Yeah, I've just been nuts.
Ladies and gentlemen, hide your nuts, because my man gonna bust them up.
I don't know, man. I've been watching. What have I been watching? A lot of sports statistics videos.
Nice.
Okay.
Dude, hell yeah.
Like what? Like
what kind of video?
Like old school
here?
Nate Silver? Like what are you talking about?
No, like SB Nation stuff. I don't want to. Sorry for the plug.
Oh, I see. But, okay.
Like, I watched a video of theirs on Ichiro last night.
Oh, sure.
Like,
Ichiro.
Oh, man. I just watched. There was a video that was floating around the other day of Ichiro throwing a ball all the way across the baseball field and like hitting it into a basket that he knocks over and then throws the next one and hits it in the basket perfectly.
Maybe the best outfield arm in history. Like, it's
unreal that nobody ever trained him to be a pitcher.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I watched a video on this last night, but. 10 years late to the MLB and still in the 3,000 hit club?
What an unbelievable fucking
player. Are you kidding?
I mean, it's really good. Would have traded some of those hits for a couple of extra base hits, you know? Not bringing much power to the table, but, you know, Ichiro's
great.
But
that was his thing, man. That was Ichiro's thing.
Well,
he hits base hits.
He should get a more valuable thing, ultimately.
What? Getting on second base consistently like that is so fucking valuable.
He's very good. He's very good.
You don't understand Moneyball, Citric.
Yeah, you don't understand Moneyball, David.
Wow. All right. Sure, what do I know? I was only invested in Sabermetrics for like 7 years, wrote for a Sabermetric Chicago Cubs blog, but what the fuck do I know? Huh?
Yeah, what all do right? you know?
You want to talk about...
Yeah, what do you know?
You don't
know?
Understand. He keeps his baseball bats in humidifiers.
You want to talk about weighted runs? You want to talk about... like
no, you know what I want to talk about?
Ichiro treats his bats
wind
like
shares?
They're fucking cigars.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I want to talk about? Throwing a bat once and then writing an apology letter to the guy who made it for his lapse in judgment. That's called respect.
Right. I feel
David.
Like we're getting a little stereotypical now.
He is possibly the most Japanese man who's ever lived.
Dude, no, but that's the thing.
Okay, no, you want to hear? Dude, like, okay, we're gonna deal in some light stereotyping here, but this is the most Japanese thing I've ever heard. Apparently, Hideki Matsui was notorious for his weird porn collection on VHS that he had, like, and would just share with his teammates. Like, you could go to Matsui's locker, and he would just hand you some weird VHS tentacle porn shit.
But on VHS, because he likes the, like, warm tone of the
something about it. It might
media.
Also have just been the fact that it was, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's true,
but, like,
yeah. He probably digitized, yeah. You got to imagine.
There were plenty of Yankees that partook of, you know, a lot of Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter coming up and getting his weirdo porn collection for sure.
Right. Yeah.
116 wins, David.
116 wins? What?
What?
That's an MLB tying record.
Are you talking
for
about
most wins in a regular
the 2001
season.
Mariners?
I am talking about the 2001 Mariners.
The team,
how dare you talk bad about Ichiro?
The team that got bounced from the NLDS, if I remember correctly, or the ALDS?
I'll fucking kill you.
You want to dance, bitch?
If you keep talking about Ichiro this way, I will
Look,
be
Ichiro
over
Ichiro,
there.
Ichiro is a great overall player, slightly overrated offensively. All right,
outrageous take.
Yeah, look into Sabermetrics, buddy. Because guess what the first Sabermetric is? It's respect.
Okay? It's honor.
Yeah. I got a Sabermetric for you. I'm going to stab you with my katana.
I got a Sabermetric for you. 3 inches. That's how far in it's going into your heart. Yeah, man. Ichiro rules, though.
No, he's great. He's
what
great.
A character. That's the thing yeah. that's great about him is that he's a character. And, like, you really don't get that as much in baseball. Anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it used to, I feel like in our parents' generation, there was so many, like wacky characters who'd, like, fucking pitch a perfect game on LSD and stuff. And, like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
just hearing stories about, like, Ichiro being, like, I keep them in a cigar thing because they're, like, cigars. And you're like, yeah, man, hell yeah, what a weirdo.
Yeah. Well, there was this sort of apocryphal story about how, like, about people watching Ichiro do batting practice, and like after he, like when he would wrap up, he would just like apparently start knocking balls deep into the stands, and he would tell people like, yeah, you know, I could hit home runs if I just chose to, but I, you
yeah.
know, I choose to be a
That's
leadoff
the thing,
hitter.
Yeah, is
and
he,
it's like
he, it's the art of
you.
the base
You're
hit. Yeah.
So full of yeah. shit. Like, that's
he's also
horseshit.
He's also one of the fastest runners of all time. Okay. He fucking hit a grounder right to first base. Randy Johnson has to run 60 feet from the mound. He has to run 90 feet from home, and he beats the tag.
Oh, yeah, that's...
He beats
That's
the
an
tag.
Interesting point, Max. What is Usain Bolt's career on base percentage?
Dude, I love Usain Bolt. Do you remember when he trialed
about
for?
To, like, throw at you.
Yeah, Max is out of here. Max is going out. To your house. But do you remember when Usain Bolt did a? He trialed for Manchester United. And he was like, "I'm gonna be the fastest soccer player in the world," and
yeah,
everyone
then he
was
just
like,
"Ran by the ball."
Well, yeah, they like trialed him, and they were just like, "No, you didn't train to be a soccer player.
Yeah, yeah,
this
exactly.
isn't going to work out.
You have one skill."
It's the same thing happened with Chad Ochocinco. Chad Ochocinco wanted to be a soccer player.
Yeah,
keep talking shit, David.
Max is lifting kettlebells now.
Keep talking shit, bud.
Again, it is a damn shame this isn't a visual podcast.
A lot of
Max is
visual gags behind the paywall today.
Max is killing it on visual jokes right now. Anyway, we've,
I know where you fucking live, David. Respect.
I feel like we've sufficiently talked about baseball without Katie here, so how can we anger Alex? What can we talk about that Alex likes?
I've been playing Artifact 2.0. Like
You have been playing the new Artifact. Yeah. Tell us about Artifact.
New Artifact?
No, I don't want to do it.
It's pretty
good.
Can we
just insult the Irish or something?
Oh, well, I can tell you guys the thing that Alex did ask me not to say on the show is that his Irish ancestry, his family left Ireland because they were on the wrong side of the Civil War. His family were loyalists and they had to leave.
That was... I found that out. I tweeted about this. I think I've talked to you, Jeremy, at least about this. But I found out about a month ago. I was having like a real like political discussion with my family, and my mom starts telling me about how, well, you know, your great grandmother was actually driven out of Russia by the Bolsheviks. And I was sort of like, cool, we were on the wrong side, hell yeah.
Yeah, why? You know, what did your family do?
It was just like, you know, we had a very comfortable middle class life, and you know, things were very, and then she had to leave everything, and I was just sort of like, great, sounds like we deserved it. I don't know what
sure
we did,
it wasn't anything anything bad that her family did.
Yeah, yeah.
your great grandfather had a very successful putting glass in people's shoes factory.
It was like,
he had a very successful triangle shirtwaist but everyday factory.
I really hope like there's some deep buried history and my great great grandfather was just Rasputin.
Oh, your little Anastasia, your seventh generation.
Just a giant servant to the Tsar.
All right, you guys wanna do an anime news? Yeah, you guys have both been on an anime news before, right?
I don't think so. It's been a while since I've been on it.
We did one last time, right?
Yeah, Max, you've witnessed this, David. So anime news is a segment where we read the anime news section of the website animematch.com, which is site for anime fans. Yes. Okay, been here. You've been involved in this. So this this article is titled "7 Freaky Things to Say to Your Boyfriend."
Hell yeah.
And I don't know if we've read this before. I feel like we might have, but...
Max is already shirtless. How can we get... This can't get any
hotter
for
freakier,
everybody.
Yeah.
You
know? All right, here we go. It's no secret that fellas are just as easily turned on by words as the ladies. Today, we'll take a look at 7 freaky things to say to your boyfriend to make him all excited and ready to go. Sometimes the two of you, quote, click right from the beginning, and you always know what to say to him in a sexy way. No follow-up thought on that, by the way.
Sure.
Do you want a nut?
Like, the sentence starts, sometimes the two of you click. There's no, but sometimes the other thing. here we go. Sorry, it's the next paragraph. My bad. In other times, it might turn into a huge struggle. How do you find the right words or phrases without sounding too dirty or even inappropriate?
I feel like, well...
That's
like
kind of the point.
How do you feel about nutting?
I feel like it generally shouldn't be a huge struggle. That seems like a problem.
Thankfully, men are a lot more open to these kinds of games than women, and that means you'll probably be good, even if you take this a bit too far.
Oh, no.
Boys aren't even really very demanding of their girlfriends, and if you put one of the following freaky things to say to your boyfriend to good use, you'll turn him into the happiest guy on the planet. If this is your first time, it would be best to go slow and to tease him at first before going all out with the, quote, heavy artillery.
Are we diving into problem territory? I feel like we're diving into problem territory.
I don't know, man. I haven't read it.
Oh, all right.
So are you ready to get his heart racing, his mind going crazy, and his entire body craving for you? Then let's take a look at the list.
We start with a light incision down the middle of the chest.
Number one, guess what I'm wearing right now?
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
For some reason, this phrase is a huge turn on for men. When a guy says this, it's funny. But when a girl does, it's sexy and arousing.
Yep. I'm glad we're acknowledging the universal truths.
Finally, somebody's speaking up about gender inequality in a place that actually fucking matters. Okay.
As someone who is has spent the last probably decade or so immersed in the world of stand-up comedy, it's nice to hear finally someone talking about the differences between men and women.
Dude, finally, though, I wish I could, you know, do like a, guess what I'm wearing right now? It's gym shorts.
Guess what I'm wearing right now? A full Tien Gi.
A full plate of armor.
With a Play-Doh third eye.
It would be so funny to do, like, a guess what I'm wearing, and it's, like, full armor with, like, the pointy face and everything. The opposite sex has a pretty wild and vivid imagination.
Guess what I'm wearing right now? The shame of my past.
Yo, if a girl asks me that, though, and she's not wearing a bikini made of nuts, I'm out, though. I'm out.
All right, now, are you picturing, like, this is like a cartoon sort of a scenario where it's, like, conveniently, like, splatted into it, or is it...
You think I'm dating cartoons?
I don't know. How are you picturing it, then? Are you picturing, like, dried up, like, and, like, turned into, like, a fabric?
You could take, like, a bunch of, like, fishing line.
I love when the West Virginia comes out.
Kind of string some nuts together, you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Oh, God.
Okay, so imagine a nut, Jeremy.
Oh, like a real one.
Dude. I'm not talking about human nut, it's an allegory.
It's an allegory.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you've just only used it the other way this whole episode.
That's not what an allegory is.
It's fucking allegory, bro. Like, if the author was like, a bikini of nuts, he's like, what do you mean?
It's like Play-Doh, man. It's an allegory, okay?
Yeah, it's like Play-Doh. You fucking squish the guy's head and it comes out, bro.
Jesus Christ.
All right, number two. Tonight, you're the master.
Oh, what? No, what? No way, dude.
You can change that to, quote, you're in control, or whatever fits you more.
Tonight, you're my manager.
The first sentence, he can't even, like, commit to saying, tonight, you're the master. Even he knows he can't say that. The bottom line is, naturally, males are dominant creatures, and nothing turns them on more than a woman that admits that.
Jesus. Yes, that is why. If you look at actually, like, the history of American powerful male fetish, it is for sure definitely rooted in men who...
Yeah, the history of American powerful male fetish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. There's, like,
if you want to turn your man
everybody
on,
knows,
admit you've been...
Everybody knows what Rush Limbaugh in the bedroom is out there trying to have women acknowledge his dominance. He's not at all getting tied to bedposts and getting prodded with a hot iron.
If you want to turn your man on, admit you've been stealing time, and then tell him you'll sign any write-up he has to give you.
You want to turn your man on, put him on a performance improvement plan.
Yeah, put him on, what is the progressive discipline? Yeah.
Yeah.
Put him on progressive discipline. Number three, I can't wait to be alone with you.
Oh my God.
This is another one of those simple yet effective phrases. Again, by telling him this over the phone or via message, you make his mind go wild and imagine all kinds of things, most of them dirty. What else would it be?
Oh my God.
I can't wait till you're isolated from all of your friends.
I have a secret to tell you that I can't tell in front of anyone.
Surprise, it's I'm removing your skin. That's the secret.
Yeah, right. Oh man, if you want to turn your man on, why don't you roll onto your back and show him your soft underbelly while still wagging your tail?
This is one of those simple yet effective tactics that shows men that they are dominant, like in nature.
Men love to know that with one swipe they can take out all your organs, but they won't.
men love the opportunity to claw into you with their front legs and then rip with their back ones. Number four, I've got a surprise for you. If you're in a playful mood and want to get your man excited without sending him any explicit photos, use this phrase. The key here is secrecy. Make sure not to tell him exactly what he'll find back at home, but do give him at least some hints. Take some time to plan this. Flowers, candles, relaxing music.
Human shit spread all over the walls.
Hey, Jeremy, how old do you have to be on this site again?
I think the lowest age that they let you sign up is 13.
Cool. Cool.
Number five, I've been waiting for you. Wait, how is this freaky, you might ask?
I feel like these are getting tamer as they go along.
Well, imagine this. The guy has been working for 8 hours straight, and now he's finally back home where he can relax. You know how you work 8 hours? You never
in
work more than that. Yeah. You know how it's always a perfect clean 8 hour day?
Yeah.
And you're home within that 8 hours too, your commute is calculated into your 8 hour day.
And there's no unpaid lunch break that keeps you there for an extra hour.
There's no secretive we sign off whenever we are done with our work sort of policy that makes you stay until 10.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Wait, so how is this freaky, you might ask? Well, imagine this. The guy's been working 8 hours straight, blah, 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 blah. And the first thing that he sees is his beautiful girlfriend greeting him with this phrase. That will let him know that he's been on your mind all day, and he might get lucky tonight. Believe us, this is the perfect ending of a hard day for a man, and one of the best freaky things to say to your boyfriend.
I love these sort of how-tos that are written, but clearly people who have never been in a relationship that lasts longer than 9 months, at all.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also funny, the way that he packs in these SEO phrases as if, he expects that somebody is for sure Googling freaky things to say to your boyfriend. And he's like, we got to punch this up those Google rankings.
Yeah. Dude, fucking... This is why men shouldn't write about love and sex, because literally this guy's like, why don't you try telling him he's got big shoulders? And Cosmopolitan is like, suck his dick and finger his ass.
Massage the prostate.
Yeah. Why don't you spit and lick his balls? This is Cosmopolitan teen.
Oh, wait, so this is this is a perfect transition to the last one. Number seven, you're so good looking or... hot or masculine.
All, you have to say all three. You can't, it's not pick one. You need to actually be
you gotta say all three of them.
Yeah.
But could you imagine if somebody said to you, you're so masculine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, as a mask identifying person living in Brooklyn, I would be kind of upset. I'd be like, wow, really? Well, I guess I gotta go, let me go put on a cream. You know what I do think is a nice gender neutral non-binary way to kind of do what he's pick up what he's putting down. Yeah, you could just say, you look so full of nut.
It looks like it's
ooh,
up
baby
to
are you a squirrel, because I ain't seen nothing but nuts.
Yeah. Damn, you're a tree in fucking October.
Yeah.
And it's full of
you
nuts.
Are storing up for winter. And I'm winter.
Right. And that doesn't imply a gender.
Yeah, uh-huh. So, you're right. Yeah.
So there you go, folks.
Yeah, the seasons have no gender. Right?
That is true. People aren't running around describing seasons gender. That is factually accurate.
Yeah. Although I guess it's mother nature, so
well, I mean that's more of an amalgam of the seasons, really.
Right, yeah, but they'd all be her daughters, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I feel like Vivaldi personified spring as freaking gay.
What a did we get here? What happened?
What happened?
What turn did we take?
But I do wonder. I think if there was any season that was going to be a dude, mm-hmm. it's probably winter, right?
Yeah, sure. Old man winter.
Yeah, old man winter.
A real
okay.
thing. Yeah.
And what, yeah. I feel like winter. I feel like winter shouldn't be alone right now.
You have Diana who or no wait. Persephone is like the Greek myth of spring. She's like the harbinger of spring.
Yeah, I feel like spring and fall are definitely chicks. I feel like that's pretty clear. Summer is maybe a 50-50. It's really the ones that are like more oppressive in their temp.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a season that's overbearing, you're probably a dude.
Yeah, and winter especially just feels like a very spiteful move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get the horniest in spring and autumn, so that's definitely some freaking chick months, you know?
Are you doing Dan Licata?
I guess I did slip into kind of a Dan.
It's the chain.
Yeah, mustard.
It's the chain and the mustache. Like,
people freak out when they see the chain, but I have worn this chain every day for like 4 years.
Sure, yeah, it's just always under your shirt. Yeah, again, not wearing a shirt for folks at home.
It's fucking hot in my apartment.
It's very hot, yeah. I have a fan going, but it's like too low, but I can't turn it higher or else you're going to hear it on the...
Max has spent this entire podcast gingerly fingering two different ladies behind him.
Yeah, folks at home, you can't see this, but there are ladies flanking him on either side.
Babe, stop. That's it.
All right. Gundam. We watched episode 23. Right, 23.
All right,
I watched it yesterday. I do not
remember. Yeah, episode 23 of Mobile Fighter G Gundam. Ready, go! Destined battle, Domon versus Dark Gundam.
So, how is Krillin going to get out of this one?
How, we don't know. David, you said that you were very lost.
I have no idea what the fuck is going on with this episode at all. The guy screams Master Asia a lot, which is just a silly sounding phrase. There's a super mode to this dude's Gundam that you can't go into angry because apparently you know much like the Fire Tribe and fire as an element. it's wild and unrestrained, and you can't you have to control your and keep a cool head about you when you go into super mode.
I mean, to catch you up, David, a little bit, he was trying to have a special night with that older gentleman, and so he's like, "You're the Master Asia tonight."
Yeah. Oh, I see. Just, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. The sexual undertones of this are taking on new dimensions for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the important thing to remember is that I watch this show every week, and I also do not know what's happening. So we open on Domon in the Shining Gundam. It's the Shining Gundam, right? Yeah, Shining Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
Facing down the Dark Gundam.
Mm-hmm.
And Master Asia. And we get a rare instance of the narrator being right at the top of the show instead of waiting a little bit after a cold open. That's really it. And then we kind of cut away to these people from Neo Japan. They're out in space on the colony. They're looking down. There's an energy readout in South America that's like really bad. And they're like, it must be the Dark Gundam. There's a metal Two-Face guy who looks like Zex Marquise.
He does look like Zex Marquise.
He does, yeah. And he's got a retainer voice, which I found very funny. Did you guys notice this? His voice is like, that must be the Dark Gundam.
Just like very Billy Quiz Boy.
Yeah. But he's like, oh, South America, that's where Domon is. It must be him. And then they say, we'll have to use the Burning Gundam, but that was developed for the final battle. And then they never expand on what they mean by that. Yeah. I guess the end of the tournament, I don't really know.
Freaking, I guess, dude, all this has just been, Dark Gundam has just been practiced, dude. Rest is playoffs, you know what I mean?
I guess, yeah.
Sure, you know, that part of the season where Ichiro doesn't last.
Eat shit and die, David. Eat shit and fucking
I'm
die.
I'm starting to think that this is something specific you have against the Japanese.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What did he do to the twins? Is that what this is about? Oh, shit.
Can you hear him?
Oh, no. David's mic is out.
First of all, my allegiance is to the Chicago Cubs. I'm sorry. I was trying not to cough on mic, and then I clicked it, and it didn't unmute.
Yeah, no, that's God just telling you to respect Ichiro, yeah. Man.
Ichiro, more like eat shit-chiro.
No. I will not allow it. I'm muting you. Am I able to mute you?
I don't know.
Jeremy, can we go into subs only mode, please?
This is really... Sorry, this channel's emojis only now.
But you're a Cubs fan? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Oh, damn.
It's nothing personal. It is just, it's a mere understanding of the fact that Ichiro represents the most fun parts of the game to actually watch, but without necessarily contributing to the level that people expect, given how funny he is to watch, to the win shares of the team that he is representing by virtue
Absolute
of the fact
madness.
That he doesn't hit enough extra base hits.
Madness, my man does not understand Moneyball.
No, just show me another team that could lose Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., and Barry Bonds in three consecutive years, and A-Rod in three consecutive years.
Yeah, what an outrageous...
And then win 116 games.
I mean, I feel like the Yankees have done that quite a bit.
Oh, really? Because they've never won 116 games, because it's a fucking record, David.
Winning the most games in a season is like having the shiniest trumpet. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
It's a world record.
It's world record.
That counts for something.
I don't even know that it's a world record. It's an MLB record. We don't know that it's a world
yeah, I
record.
I guess I don't know. If, like,
there's maybe a Japanese like team that has more than 116 wins. You don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, okay, but hold on. When you win the MLB, you are the world champion?
They didn't win the MLB. They didn't win the World Series.
Right, but
the World Series is named after the World newspaper.
Stop
right?
shifting goalposts, Max. All right,
it's not
go
even the right
lifting.
Sport. There's I'll no goalposts in baseball.
There's some goalposts for you, buddy. There's some goalposts.
Again, another visual gag going on here. Max is doing two middle fingers.
Yeah, why don't you lift some more kettlebells, you fuck?
I will, you fucker.
All right, well, while Max is doing that.
David's address is...
well, we check in on Rain, and she is in the Russian lady's special little airplane, and it does not impact the rest of the episode at all. I don't know why we even checked in on her.
It does. A little bit. It does a little bit.
I think I'm...
It comes back later. I'll bring it back
in. All right. So then we cut back to the face-off. Domon up against Master Asia. And
pissed as hell.
Master Asia says, "Do you really expect to defeat me?" And Domon goes, "Yeah!" He's like so stoked for this fight. He's like going at him. He's like swinging big swings. Master Asia dodging every single punch, making Domon look like a total bitch. And he binds him with a technique I don't think we'd ever seen before, which is a laser rope.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his little ribbon.
He comes out shooting ropes.
It's like tied him up in laser, which makes you wonder, like, how does this differ from the sword laser or the gun lasers? You know, like, why
this one's
is it
a rope? I thought that was pretty clear. It's in the name, Jeremy. What is difficult to process about this?
At least, like, in Gundam Wing, when they have, like, Epion has the whip, it's like... made of metal, so when it wraps around somebody, you're like, okay, metal wrapped around him. That material doesn't burn through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. And if David understood Moneyball, he'd know
he
where
would understand.
Coming from.
Yes, exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about laser.
It's Saber Analytics, David.
Saber Analytics is me looking at the katana that I have just stabbed you with afterwards and watching the blood drip off of it.
Yeah, the key metric we're looking at is percent of saber made of laser.
That's the worst indie band.
They're fighting. Schwarzbruder suddenly, out of nowhere, shows up, and he has another new gadget weapon thing on his Gundam we didn't realize he had before. It is a spike that flies out of him from somewhere and explodes upon impact. Schwarzbruder has seemingly infinite techniques he can just pull out whenever he needs to.
It's got to be nice to be able to pull out whenever you need to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nice. Ah, yeah, dude.
Boys,
doghouse. Woof, woof. So then, yeah, Schwartz is like, don't get angry, Tomon. He wants you to get pissed. He wants it from you, so you do super mode. And Domon's like, but I want to do my super mode.
My super mode.
And he's like, but you can't do it. Don't you understand, Domon? And then it cuts to Master Asia, and he has this very funny moment where he's like, yes, get mad. And like, it almost works. Yeah. Domon's like, eyes are bright red. He's like, furious. Mm-hmm. Schwartz has to like get between them.
Like a R. Crumb painting.
Yeah. And then, Schwartz has another new technique. He throws down like a sparkle ball that makes them disappear.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He like makes a good, like a little, I mean, like spirit
who,
bomb. And
who
it's
among
like,
us poof. Hasn't disappeared into a sparkle ball?
He does like a Batman ass, like flashbang thing.
Yeah.
But before that, Master Asia points out that Kyoji is there on top of the Dark Gundam. He's like, look, it's Kyoji. And Domon gets big mad. And he's furious.
Like,
he's so mad. What? And that's when Schwartz is like, we got to get him out of here. He's
Kyoji,
too mad.
Kyoji, come back and eat your brisket, honey.
That was the voice. That was the voice Max just did.
You think Kyoji is a Jewish name? Is that what you're...
I didn't do a Jewish mom
You definitely
mom
just
voice
did a Jewish
Kyoji.
Mom voice.
Nope. Oh,
I
David.
I think the record
You're
will
telling
show.
On yourself. You're telling on yourself, my man.
David, your address sure is 1222.
So they're now behind a waterfall, I guess, hiding out from the battle, and they're arguing with each other from their little Gundam Romeo and Juliet balconies. What do they call it? Juliet balcony. That's what they call that, right? The little balcony. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like the balconies
that
are like a foot that you can step out and there's like not enough space to do anything else.
I've always heard that as like a widow's walk. But that's like a New England thing because all their husbands
die.
Yeah, in
war or at like fishing.
At sea.
Yeah, they go fishing.
Yeah. It might be a Juliet balcony. I'll Google it.
I feel like it's a Juliet balcony. Yeah. Anyway, they have the little doors open on their Gundams and they're both stepping out there talking to each other. And Schwartz is like, he wants you to get mad, so you use your super mode. He never explains why. He never gives him any sort of like really cohesive idea of like, this is why he wants you to use your super mode. He just wants you to get mad so you get distracted, so you fight worse, I guess. But it doesn't seem like he was having any trouble dealing with him to begin with.
It's a real anti-Dragon Ball philosophy.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, basically Schwartz is just like, true strength doesn't come from getting pissed, bro. Comes from being chill as hell.
Winning battles comes from never being mad online.
Yeah. Comes from voting.
But what's crazy is that it does come from getting pissed. Every time, it's just getting pissed that does it for him. It makes him go super mode, and Schwartz is fucking wrong.
What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, Master Asia.
It's the difference between being mad online and an ice cold broaster, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Master Asia brings that up after he leaves the cage again. He's like, Master Asia's like, remember all those times you won fights when you were pissed?
Try it again. Why don't you?
Why don't you get pissed for me, buddy?
Like holding out just like a delicious warm pie for him. Just like, don't you love the smell of pissed off? And Tomon is like floating in the air on the little smoke or whatever. So then Domon is like speculating about who Schwartz is. He recognizes his voice. After how many episodes of seeing Schwarzbruder, who is, again, for those who are just tuning in, a German ninja who wears like a balaclava with the Belgian flag on it.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly out of nowhere, Doman's like, I recognize his voice. Who is he? I can't believe it. And then Schwartz is like, all right, fuck this. I'm out. I don't give a shit what happens to you. I'll see you in Hong Kong, I guess. And then he fucking leaves and flies past Kyoji and Master Asia, who just seem to have absolutely no interest in stopping him. They don't really care.
Yeah, pretty
much. Like, and then, he just blew up a thing in front of Master Asia, and he's like, damn, it's that Schwartz Bruder again. And then he watches him fly by like, all right, see you later, dude. Have a good one.
And then... And then we cut back to Rain.
Yes, okay.
On the Russian transport ship. And what is she doing? Calling her fucking daddy. Saying, Doman's in the Guiana Highlands. He needs your help.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because the Neo-Japan people are like, I guess we can't. Doman doesn't have a phone. So we gotta call Rain.
Yeah.
What a stupid plot device to keep her involved in this.
Yeah.
I like how we have discussed every plot element to this episode, and I still have no idea what the fuck happened.
No, I don't either. I mean, I wrote this all down, but it doesn't really... Well, none of it fits, you know?
Yeah.
So, and so he keeps fighting Master Asia. They send the capsule, little lotus blossom capsule that has burning gun to
right. the land. But,
burning.
But it doesn't matter. It won't reach... It won't reach in time.
Of course it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. But they send the burning gun, which we've just heard about just now. This is the first time we've heard about the burning gun. But so we cut back to the fight, and it's Domo to Master Asia going at it. And Master Asia's on some shit where he's like, a student can never beat his teacher. Which is like counter to everything I've ever learned about Japan through anime. I feel like they have a very strong understanding of the fact that like students surpass their teacher as just a culture.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's in there to make him seem perverse.
Yeah. Like he's like crazy and just twisted. Yeah. That's their version of like a venom. Is he's just fucking, he doesn't.
The Yellow Wolf can never out-rap Eminem.
and then Doman has a great line where he's like, I swear to God, I will never, ever think of you again as my master.
You which, will just again, be Asia, which will be not at all confusing.
Which, again, ladies, if you're listening, do not say that to your man.
That's true.
If you want to be
that's
freaky.
That's true. It's, no, it's an anti-freaky thing
you
want to
say things like, you look so attractive / good / pretty /
masculine.
Fuckable.
Yeah.
It's a sex negative thing to say, you know,
to call
say you'll
someone
never be my master again.
So Domon gets pissed. Again,
and they keep fighting and he like reaches his limit, which again is not something that's ever happened before.
Mm-hmm.
His Gundam just like sparks and it falls.
He goes, and then he's about to get KO'd again.
And then nuts start falling off of him.
Yeah, and then Schwartz Bruder comes back.
Oh, not quite, not yet, because he... No, because he's, like, falling and stalling out and whatever, and then it's like, oh, surprise, actually, it's time for my super mode!
No, no.
But the real one this time. And he, like, goes Super Saiyan, and he's, like, in the middle of transforming, literally, like, his hair is gold now, and it's, like, spiking up.
Yeah.
And he's in the middle of the transformation, and then Master Asia goes to try to sucker punch him, but he gets sucker punched by Schwartz Bruder. And they both punch each other in the cockpit, and you're like, oh, damn, they're both gonna die. And then, surprise, neither of them dies.
I thought Schwartz was dead.
I thought so too, but it doesn't seem like he's going to be dead because they didn't reveal his identity in this episode.
Yes, they did.
They just show his little face. They don't say who he is.
Wait, which is the damn same face.
Well, but they make it look like it is, but they're in two different places, so I don't think that's what... I mean, it probably is what it is because there's only so many characters on this show, and they're not going to introduce a whole new one to be like, and that's, surprise, who Schwartz Bruder was.
If Schwartz Bruder is not Kyoji Kashu, I will fucking put a shirt
on. But, like,
on.
What is he doing? He's, like, a double agent? He's doing, like, a...
When... I'll throw down $100 on this right now.
I'm just saying, there's only so much...
Yeah, take that action,
there's
baby.
Only so much added value you can get from stolen bases. And, Ichiro...
Mute him. Cut his mic.
Dude, I'm... I'm so mad. David's phone number is.
So he's gone real super mode. He's attacking the Dark Gundam. He's like cutting his little tentacles apart. But he's Master Rage is like, look at him cutting his little tentacles. He's wasting his energy. And it doesn't matter though. I already said this, that they attack each other, they punch each other in the cockpit, and then Domon is talking to Schwartz, and he's like, I don't have it all together. I thought I did. I don't have it together. And then Master Rage is like, you don't. You don't have it all together. You're a fucking mess. Look at you. You don't even wake up at the same time every day, Domon, hitting the damn snooze button like someone who doesn't have it together.
Loser,
fucking
dude.
Snoozer.
Fucking Do you snoozer, even have loser, a Roth dude. IRA?
You're wasting your time if you use a traditional IRA. You don't know what the tax rate's going to be.
In Vanguard ETFs.
And then what happens? He has like a dumb dream sequence where he's talking to Kyoji. And Kyoji's like, you're going to die. And he's like, I guess I am going to die. And then he sees some water drops and he's like, wait. The water drops. That means, and then he wakes up to an even better and more legitimate super mode. Yeah. This time it's for real.
Not being pissed.
He's like the real ass super mode of the week, and he absolutely just wrecks Master Age's whole shit. He just like punches him to death, and he's like really like crumpled over like a Family Guy bit.
Yeah, he really beats the shit out of this old man.
And he's like talking to himself. He's like, I can't believe he beat the fuck out of me. Damn.
Yeah. He even takes his little ribbon and wraps it around his shoulders like a cool little shawl, and it like shines through on. He's like, now I'm wearing your ribbon, bitch.
He beats the shit out of this guy in a way that Ichiro could never do to a baseball.
Look, cut his mic. David, it's even in the fucking episode, okay? Because guess what? He was getting pissed off like a Sosa or a Mark McGrath just flipping his
bat.
Mark McGrath.
Isn't that the
Sugar Ray
motocross
guy.
Driver?
No.
McGuire.
Mark McGrath is the Sugar Ray lead singer.
Sugar Ray. Yeah, well, guess what? The fucking statue's crumbling. Because he's so pissed. But then Domon gets fucking chill.
Damn.
And he realizes that there's an art to this, and he starts respecting his bat.
Then he goes way more super mode. What if they embrace Sugar Ray as a Black Lives Matter band, because they have the all around the world statues crumble for me, and all the and all the reactionaries are all like, we don't like Sugar Ray anymore. And
yeah. I mean, I just want to fly, dude.
I mean, who doesn't?
Who doesn't want the gift of flight? Like, you even needed to write a song about it.
You're right. Your big hit's called Every Morning, that thing we all experience and are too familiar with.
All right, so then, he fucks up Master Asia, and Kyoji is off on the Dark Gundam, and Domon flies at him, and he's like, take this. Not my anger. I don't have that anymore. And he just shining fingers him and just kills him. And Kyoji dies without ever having done literally anything. Nothing happened with him. We've had him in the show since episode one. We've been wondering what's going to happen with Kyoji. The
literally
answer,
nothing.
Literally nothing. He doesn't do a fucking thing. And then... Master Asia is he's on the ropes, he's really dying, and then Schwartz just kills him the rest of the way, and he's like, but wait, I recognize you, as his mask comes off, and he looks like Hiro from Gundam Wing.
He looks like Kyoji Kashu, Jeremy.
No, I don't think so.
He looks like Kyoji.
Doesn't make sense.
I bet. Take the action, Jeremy.
I'm not taking the action. I'm not taking the bet because, again, there are no other... There's no other characters in the show.
Jeremy?
There's a secret third brother, I bet.
Look at this mustache. It's a safe
no,
bet.
No, I'm not taking
I'm
that.
Addicted.
I'm not taking
I'm
the bet.
I'm a freak for gambling. Take
it's
the
true.
Bet.
Max just loves action.
It's a sucker's yeah. bet.
He needs the juice.
Mm-hmm. I'm tilted, Jeremy.
Max is still tilted from our poker game a month and a half ago where he got wrecked.
Yeah. Okay, I remember at some point you being down like $400.
That's true. So but I crawled back.
All right. So at the end, he's defeated all his foes. There's not but a obstacle that stands in front of him. And what happens? A new Gundam shows up. The Burning Gundam mm-hmm. finally arrives on Earth just in time for Domon to have finished the whole show. Everything that we've known to be the show so far is now over. And he's mm-hmm. also mastered the super mode, which I guess is maybe not specific
cool.
to that Gundam. Maybe it's more of a technique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
take the action.
Guess we'll find I'm not taking the action. I'm not taking it. All right, let's rate
what
the
Jeremy
episode.
Doesn't understand is that Max is trying to fuck now.
What I'd love
take
to
the
know,
action.
What I would love to know, David, is out of 7 Dragon Balls, how you rate this episode of G Gundam.
Well, I love making people do weird voices, so
no,
we'll call it 7.
No, you don't. No, you fucking
7.
Don't. No. I have to go grocery shopping, Dave.
Nope, I do. 7 out of 7.
All right, well, Max, what do you say?
7 out of 7, so I also get a wish.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm going to give it 4 out of 7 because I'm realistic. it was a deeply confusing episode that tied up a bunch of loose ends that would be considered by most to be the whole plot.
That is accurate, and I loved it. I thought it was great that I didn't understand anything.
Yeah, all right. Well, perfect so episode. I guess with that all in mind, we're going to summon the Eternal Dragon Shenron.
Hey Shenron, what's
up? What's up, buddy?
Oh shit, you guys recognize me? I thought I was fooling everyone with this Belgian flag mask.
Yeah man, we all knew it was
shit.
You
shit, is it my long green body? Did that give me away?
Yeah, well, and you were still hiding in all the Dragon Balls.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, but I thought if I put...
To be fair, they were Belgian Dragon Balls.
...over the Dragon Balls, that would work.
We did think that they were, like, Belgian nesting balls or whatever.
Yeah, that's a thing.
I like how Jeremy didn't want to do this segment, and he's making it longer than it usually is.
Jeremy's not here. It's me, Belgian Shenron. What are your Belgian wishes?
Belgian Shenron, I wish that Jeremy would take the $100 action on whether or not Schwarzbruder is Kyoji Kashi.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to have to look for the super Belgian Dragon Balls.
Oh, wow. Look, I found them. I gave the episode 7 out of 7 super
no,
Belgian Dragon
no,
Balls.
No, that's not how it works. David, do you have a wish? Max wasted his.
Sure. We're gonna have to wish for that. Given this is the Belgian Dragon Ball. How about a hot sequel to In Bruges? How about that? We'll wish for that.
You got it, and it's starring Black Peter, Santa's blackface friend from the Belgian and Netherlands culture.
Oh no.
I love it. What if we made it $20?
Well, that's it for me. See you guys in Bruges.
I would also like to wish for a shirt for Max.
It's
He's
hot.
Gone. I'm sorry, guys. He's already left. He's gone back to Belgium, where he belongs.
I love how much David is scared of my freaking guns, dude. My freaking big guns.
That's been another week of balling out Gundam time. And I'd like to thank my... special filling in Katie, David Citrick.
Thank you.
Would you like to
listen to my podcast, David Hates David?
And I would also like to thank my special honorary Max Ogle.
Hey, what's up? It's
Shit,
your boy,
I meant to say honorary David. You're an honorary David because it's a whatever. You get the idea. We're all doing our best.
It's your
here,
boy.
You know?
You know me, a.k.a. Ken Griffey Jr. Jr.
The original Ken Griffey Jr. Jr.
The original OG. Find me in the Discord. I have a podcast dropping probably soon.
You gotta do it, man. I don't have it. Those are gonna get outdated soon.
I'm dropping them all
you
at
gotta.
Once. There's gonna be a big, nice little 10-episode library that
Wait,
you can
what?
Go through.
What are you?
It's gonna be like one of those. Hey, it's gonna be like a nut where like you've been on. You've had like friends in town.
Yeah. I'm about to have a podcast out. There's gonna be a lot of episodes at first, and then we're gonna
Who
be
we
releasing
got?
Weekly.
Who do we got? We got.
We have Jeremy Hammond, the boy, the god. We have Alex Patak. We got people like Drew Morgan. You know him. We got Jake Flores. We got Shalewa Sharp. We got
all
so
right,
many
got
great
women.
Guests. Yeah, I got tons of women. I got binders full.
Binders full of women.
it's called What's Your Favorite Food? I'll drop a link in the Ballin' Out Discord and probably in the Facebook group too, since y'all have treated me so well in the past, and thanks so much. Appreciate it.